2 Corinthians 8 is Paul writes to the Corinth church, "Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not gather too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little." And I had the chance this past week to visit the Bangalore, India Church of Christ. So our brothers and sisters around the country on really nearly the exact opposite side of the planet. And just a tremendous experience that brought up a need and an opportunity for us to be able to give to that today. And I got there, I got on their website, I emailed them and asked if somebody could give me a ride, because you don't drive in the city of Bangalore, because it's just chaos. I mean, it's literal chaos in how they drive. So anyway, so they emailed back, said, "Yeah, are you okay with riding on a two-wheeler, or do you have your own ride?" So basically, your options are ride on the back of somebody's motorcycle or walk, because that's all they have. They don't have many cars. So I said, "Oh, sure, and I don't mind riding on the back as long as somebody else is driving." So I'm waiting on the side of the road for somebody to come pick me up, and I see two guys go by on a motorcycle. One's driving. There's a speaker between them, and then a guy on the back of the motorcycle. And I'm like, I know where they're going, because there goes our sound crew, going to church. Hang on, that's it. So anyway, the brother stops to pick me up, and these aren't big motorcycles like we're used to. This is like a 100cc, 150cc kickstart motorcycle, not like, we have electric start and all that. Anyway, but we get a perception of maybe what our brothers might be like. Here's a brother, he's got his MBA, he's got a master's in business. He wrote his own database application that he sold to thousands of companies in the United States. And he's a faithful brother in the church there. He's been a disciple about 15 years. He came from a very strong Hindu family. When he became a Christian, he was persecuted extremely bad, to the point that the government showed up at the church, persecuted the church, and tried to get him to leave and tried to shut the church down. So here's a brother comes to pick me up. Tremendous, inspiring, encouraging brother, young, single guy. So we get to the actual building, and there's one concrete room. And I've got a couple pictures I wanted to share with you. Basically, where they meet in their services, about a third. They're about the same size as us. There's one yellow concrete room about one-third of this size for about 150 people. Here's their sound system. If you can see that, that's somebody's car battery. And I'm like, what are they doing with the car battery? Because they're putting jumper cables and stuff on. Well, that's the backup for the amp or whatever it is. That's just how they work. So I was like, okay. So next picture shows a picture of the actual room where we're meeting. It's a little hard to see, but nice bright yellow walls. It's a concrete room. It's a concrete floor, concrete stage, and concrete walls with a couple windows and a door there in the back. Not a real fancy meeting place, but they're together. So the average giving in this church ranges from $100 a week to 1 cent. They're crippled, they're maimed. I'm pretty sure that I met a leper there that was there. A brother came in, just big smile, came up, gave me a big handshake. He didn't have any fingers. He had a thumb. But they don't have the same health care systems that we have. If somebody's born with a disability, generally that's how they'll stay the rest of their life. And so he's got to see just a real mix of exactly what you would expect in God's kingdom as far as the family of God. So the minister, the evangelist, he carried the other amp on the roof of his car. And then here's another picture of transportation of how these guys get here. Here's a bicycle that somebody rode. This isn't a Trek, 2010 model, if you can't tell. But somebody rode it. I watched another family leave the service, and there was four of them on this little motorcycle, mom, dad, and two kids, and they go driving off. And I thought, well, okay. So anyway, just a different world. Their song service, though, when we got to the songs, probably knew four out of six of the songs, the same songs we sing. We sang Jehovah Jireh. We sang Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. And several songs, it was just encouraging. It's like, yes, it's the family of God. I know these words. Then they sang a couple Indian songs, and I just had to mouth it a little bit because I didn't know what they were. There's a picture of just their song ministry here. Just very encouraging. The evangelist was discipled by Mark Templer. Most of you know Mark Templer helped plant the church here. And he's been jailed several times. The government has the right and has come into the building of disciples and has beat the Christians with the cane. Because they have the right to do that. It's predominantly, it's a Hindu government that's led. They don't like the Christians being there. They don't want to see the Christian faith grow in their country. And so they have done that. But both the evangelist and the brother picked me up, took me to their homes after the service. And I was just so encouraged. Here's the evangelist. Shijesh is his name, and his daughter, she was passed out. We had an evening service, so she was, you know how it is on an evening service, your kids are done. But just a tremendously faithful brother that has truly been through things that we will probably never see. Again, I think he was jailed probably 4 or 5 times, and many of the members of the church there were jailed as well. We went to his house, and as we got off the motorcycle, there's just this loud concert going on in the next alley over. And we go over there, the brother says, here, come with me for a second. And there's this gold statue that at the end of this street, and all these people just out worshiping their idols. It's a Hindu festival, and they were kind of beating themselves and beating the drums and flopping around on the concrete floor. And you say, what are they doing? And this is right outside the evangelist's house. And I'm like, brother, can you hear that at night? He's like, every night, brother, I hear that stuff. But it just made me feel grateful to worship one God, a God of not a gold statue. By the way, this gold statue, they raise money, they collect about $30,000, they worship it for a week, and then they go throw it in a river, they dump it. So you can ask Sam. Sam can give you some more of the details of it. He understands, not that he practiced, he just understands what they do. Anyway, and then one final picture, here's the evangelist. You can't probably see this. This is his kitchen. You know, their whole house is probably a little bigger than this stage, maybe 2 or 3 stages here. His kitchen, I didn't want to take all these pictures of his house as I was there because I felt like I wasn't sure what that would communicate. But I did snap one of his kitchen because it was just so amazing how humble these people live in their circumstances. It's just a different country. So anyway, my point here this morning is that they are trying so desperately to get into a building. To get their sound system to work, I mean, you can ask Jim, you know, he's brought our sound system to church for probably 15 years before he bought a building. But at least he's had a car. You know, here's the brothers every week in, week out, putting their speakers on the motorcycle or however they can get a few mic stands and a few amplifier and a few speakers to church. But they're so close. They're this close to buying a building, a situation that they feel like God has opened up a door, and they're hoping to be able to move in, and they just need a little extra help to get over the top. And so I'm going to ask this morning, whatever we give for our benevolent contribution, we're going to send. The brother gave me, here's our bank account. If you have anything to send, amen, we would be so grateful for that. We're going to send that over to our brothers and sisters in India. The church is about 1,300 people, and it was planted sometime after the Wichita Church was, but they meet in several small groups. But they're faithful. They're disciples. They preach the word, Acts chapter 6, exactly what we would hear here. We need to be more faithful in our fellowship, is what he was teaching them. When somebody comes, we need to study the Bible with that person. We need to share our faith. I'm like, the message is the same, you know, all the way across the world. So let's go to God. We'll pray. We'll take up our benevolent offering. And again, that'll go to our brothers and sisters in the India church. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the blessing it is to live in such a country that's blessed with such amazing wealth and prosperity. And Lord, help us to be grateful. Help us to not take for granted even the building that we have, the chance to worship you freely, the peace to pray and to study your word without worried about persecutions. God, we ask that whatever money that we're able to give, take it, multiply it, use it. We beg you that this year they will see a new building, a place that they can call home, a place where they'll have kids' classes, and that they can truly raise their children to worship you as well. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand. All right, open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
I do.
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart.
Have you sing?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
High and lifted.
To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing a holy.
Holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy,
you are
holy, 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 I want to see you.
Lift it up now.
Holy, holy, holy.
Women, open the eyes.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
I want to see.
Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy.
You are holy.
I want to see.
Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
Let me hear you again.
Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy.
I want to see.
Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Please be seated.
Family, come on up. You know, while they're getting situated, when we moved here 3 years ago, Lincoln and Tina were leading the singles ministry. And Lincoln and I used to pray every morning. And one of Lincoln's prayers was that they would have children. And you laugh now. I mean, it's first Samuel chapter 1 and 2 all over again with both of them. And even as their Bible talk now, I think that they're like, would you please stop talking because we're holding these babies? But I want you to get a good glimpse of them. And they're teething, so it's all good. But they, even in their Bible talk, they studied out prayer. And we're talking about being devoted to prayer this quarter, and we're starting that up. And this is our in-house jubilee. It's great to see all of you here. It's going to be a little bit longer service, maybe. But bear with us. We'll have the kids in here for the baptism as well. But these guys studied out Hannah's prayer, and God answered their prayer. Not gave them one kid, but gave them three. And we're excited to spend this time together with them. Lincoln's parents, Lincoln and Mary Jane, are here to be a part of this dedication as well. We're just going to go ahead and jump right into it. We're gathered here today, and Lincoln and Tina want to profess Jesus as Lord in their lives, and Jesus as Lord for their children. They want to dedicate their children, Philip, Sarah, and Abigail Drake, to the Lord. And we're grateful that the family members are here as well for this. I have some questions to ask you, and you can answer those. Do you guys profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your lives?
We do.
And do you come to dedicate yourselves to biblical instruction, discipline, and love of these children?
We do.
And do you come to dedicate Philip, Sarah, and Abigail to the ultimate control and will of God through Jesus?
We do.
Now, church, do you agree to support Lincoln and Tina by your example and through acts of service? And do you agree to reinforce the biblical instruction, discipline, and love of these children under the supreme rule of Jesus Christ? And if you do, please signify that by standing. You're part of this vow too. This is family. You see
everyone
this, Lincoln and Tina?
Family.
Yeah. We'll hold those babies a little bit longer just so we can check. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Scripture also says, the charge that you've been given, train up your children in the way they should go, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. Proverbs 22, 6. Let's pray. You want to hold that? Father, we bring these children to you with all of our heart, soul, and might. We want to raise these children to love you and to serve you. Please help us to be the congregation, the family, the parents that will set the right example for these children, and that these children might love and serve you throughout their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You guys are dismissed.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Amen. Okay, hey, thanks for your participation in that. Now you're all bowed into this now, all right? So if you're not living right, even if you're visiting and you're not living right, you get it together. We need your help. God's called you to it. Okay, we're going to have a fellowship break. We'll take about 5 minutes, so parents are... No, that's the deal. Oh, a little bass line there, huh? All right. It's kind of cool, huh? Humble yourself with the funk in the background. Amen. Progressive. Scripture says in Psalms chapter 1, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit, its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Yeah, I share that passage with you because that's a description of a real, real good friend of mine, Steve Sangden, who's came out here to spend time with us as we get into being devoted to prayer. And that's one of the things that stands out to me when I think about Steve is his love for God's word. And through difficult times, Steve has been able to weather them through God
and the strength of God's word in his life. And I've seen him turn many situations around. God has used him where this guy is, you ask him, where's this scripture at? And he'll tell you. And I'm just going to go ahead, and we just sang Humble Yourselves in the Sight of the Lord. There's been many a time when I called Steve, and I said, Steve, okay, lazy. Steve, where is that one passage that says, and I say a couple of words, and he goes, oh, it's this scripture. This dude really knows the word. And we're going into a quarter and talking about being devoted to prayer. And Steve is a model of what a man of prayer should look like. This guy wakes up early in the morning and spends a ton of time in prayer. And I just seen God answer plenty of prayers that he's petitioned. And so I want you guys to give him a warm welcome. We had a great weekend with him, and I'm sure he's going to preach the word right now. Steve Sangden. Brother.
Amen. Well, I'm hungry and I want some brisket, so I'm not going to preach forever because I got to catch a plane at 2 o'clock. And so we'll be done by 1:30 or so. Amen. Amen. It is so good to be here. You guys have a great church. Don't let Satan tell you any different. I'm serious because he always does. He'll beat up on the minister. Sometimes he'll beat up on you guys and say, oh, this church isn't so hot. This is awesome church. Amen. We're far from perfect. We're far from perfect. Up in Minneapolis, we have more to change than you, I'm guessing. But you guys have a loving church, and that's the most important thing. And I've been so encouraged this weekend just being with you. And I don't think I knew anybody here. I think a couple people I knew just briefly from L.A. and just maybe we passed each other, you know, back in the 70s. Is anybody else here that old? I was only 3 then, but so it's really cool to see God's spirit in other places. I want to commend you guys. I really appreciate. Oh, boy, your perseverance, your hard work, your sacrifices, your love. These guys have been through a lot. And I just appreciate your hard work. Please pray for them. I ask my church all the time, pray for me, pray for us. There's so much pressure on leadership. And pray for your family group leaders, too. It's not just them. We're just trying to be Christians, too. And dads and moms and wives and husbands and all that stuff. And then you got all this other pressure. And not that you don't. We all have pressure on us. But pray for your leaders. There's many times where Paul says, pray for me. And support them and hold their arms up. But you guys have done a great job. I'm super proud of you. Well, let's start out in a prayer, and then we've got a little sermon to go through, and then baptism to enjoy and celebrate, some food to eat. Boy, I tell you, that's the makings of an awesome day right there. But anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. It's great to go almost anywhere in the world and find people that love us in spite of ourselves. And just to see your spirit and to see the love and to know that you're the one that's behind it all. Father, thank you so much for that. It's so good to be in the kingdom. And Father, just be with us today. Be with me right now. Help me to just be out of this sermon and you to be all over it. So that, Father, we talk about the things that will really help us grow in our faith. We love you. Thank you for Jesus. It's through his name that we pray. Amen. All right. Amen. Awesome. Okay, how would you finish this sentence? Your prayers or my prayers are awesome. Okay, all right, amen. And you know, just something went through your head because you know what I'm saying. But here's how you should finish it. Your prayers are powerful and effective. And that's what it says. Let's turn in our Bibles to James chapter 5. Your prayers, my prayers, are powerful and effective. That's not arrogant to say that. There's a verse right here in James chapter 5 that says it.
Come on, brother.
Little O you, your prayers, are powerful. Am I too loud? Am I blowing people out? Okay. Your prayers are powerful and effective. Sometimes I'm an evangelist. I've been an evangelist for a long time. Sometimes it's hard for me to believe that, but that's what this verse says. Verse 13, if anyone among you is in trouble, let him pray. Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of prayer. Or this, you know, psalms. You know? Let him sing songs of praise. In other words, let him pray. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and pray over them and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. In other words, everything in life should be bathed in prayer, saturated in prayer. You're doing good? Praise God. You're doing bad? Pray to God. If you're sick, pray to God. Call the elders. Pray. Have them pray for you. If you're in trouble, going through some kind of disaster, pray. I had a guy tell me the other day. He says, man, you got the standard trite answer. Just pray about it. And I go, well, that's what it says right here, man.
Yeah, come on.
And then I said a few other things, too, because that's what he's looking for. But I said, have you prayed about it first? You know, I've said often to people, I said, hey, make sure you freak out on God before you freak out on your husband or your wife or your family group leader or your minister. And then after you've done that, if you want to freak out on me a little bit, that's okay. But make sure you freak out on God first. It makes it a little more easy for me if you freak out on Him first. That's okay. That's part of what praying's about, freaking out on God. Yeah. Half the Psalms, the psalmist is freaking out. Anyway, but here he says, the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Let's keep reading. Verse 15, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess. Now, have you ever prayed for someone that's sick and they didn't get better? We have.
Sure.
Deborah Alls died. Real good friend of mine. We gathered around her and prayed. We cried. We wept. So did Beverly. She died too. But their sickness wasn't from sin. Their sickness was... And that's what this passage is talking about. Don't let it mess you up. If you prayed for somebody and they didn't get better and they died, it's because their sickness wasn't from sin. But if your sickness is from sin, 1 Corinthians 11 talks about that, and you pray and they confess their sins and they repent, they'll get better. Okay? And I know because I've deeply studied this passage because that used to bug me. It bothered my faith, and then I got it all straightened out because God knows what He's talking about. Verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person, man or woman, is powerful and effective. Now, you know what happens to me every time I read this passage, even to this day? It goes through my mind every time. I'm not a righteous person.
Yeah.
Or, I'm not righteous enough.
Yeah. Sure.
But that's why I go to passages like Proverbs 24, I think it's verse 16, where it says, though a righteous man fall seven times, he picks himself back up. See, you don't have to be perfect to be righteous.
Amen.
Blamelessness is not perfection, because then there would be no elders in our churches. But it's, you pick yourself back, you keep striving, you're sincere, you pick yourself back up, oh, I blew it, I'm sorry, hey, let me confess my sins, I'm sorry, pray for me, boom, that's a righteous person, because you're under and in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And so today, if you're a sincere disciple, you're a righteous person.
Amen. Come on, bro.
That means your prayers are powerful, like Elijah's. You know, sometimes we put... Oh, did I read that part yet? No, let's read on. Verse 17. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. This guy prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years, which led to a great revival. But that's pretty powerful. I mean, he changed history. He didn't control the weather, but he moved the man who controls the weather. That's powerful. And he says, Elijah's a man just like you. A human being just like you. See, you know, you got some people out there you think, sometimes, no, let me back up. Collect my thoughts. Sometimes I get talking too fast. It's probably the coffee. Or maybe the Holy Spirit, or maybe both. I don't know. But anyway, you know, sometimes we think the guys like Elijah and Nehemiah and Moses and Paul and all these guys are like LeBron James or Magic Johnson or these guys. You know, these guys were built by God. Well, anyway, they were built for basketball. I met Magic Johnson one time in an airport, and everything on him was big. His face was big. His ears were big. His hands were big. And he was really fast, too. I saw him play the old films. I mean, how can somebody that big be that fast and coordinated? He's made for basketball. And no matter how much I would practice basketball, I could never play basketball like that dude. He was made for basketball. And we sometimes categorize the Elijahs and all those guys like that. They're like special. They're cut out of a different sheet of paper.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why they did great things for God. They're not ordinary, like they're extraordinary. But the Bible right here says, no. That's not the way it is. They're just ordinary dudes. Paul was so ordinary that the church, especially the Corinthian church, was critical of him. They thought, that can't be Paul. That guy can't be an apostle. He's not even a good speaker. No way. And so that's what's so freeing about this passage and confidence. But he said, man, you don't have to be anybody extraordinary. You don't have to be super talented. You don't have to be an evangelist to have a powerful prayer life to move God. You just have to be ordinary little you. You just have to believe it. Really. And I noticed that this is too good to be true. So, first point. Oh, I forgot to mention what my first point is. See, you can have all kinds of weaknesses. You're not even organized after all this years of speaking. I can't even speak, and I'm a speaker. Your prayers are powerful. That's point number one. I believe mine are for the last 2 years. So you've been an evangelist for how long? 20-some years? Isn't that shameful? There were other times, but now I really believe my prayers are powerful. Not because I'm anybody special, but I pray to somebody really special.
Amen.
You know, there are some things God's going to do, whether you pray or not, whether this church prays or not.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things God's not going to do unless we pray.
Wow.
And that's the truth.
There
are so many great examples of prayer. Ordinary men, they're not extraordinary. They're not a Magic Johnson or a LeBron James. They're just ordinary guys or ladies. Go ahead and turn your Bible to Isaiah 38 while I make this point. But anyway, there's guys like Elijah, who we just talked about. There's guys like Joshua, ordinary guy. This guy prayed one time. I don't know why he thought of it. He was in battling against the five kings of the Amorites, and he goes, God, make the sun stand still. I need some more time to beat him down.
Yeah.
And it says God did that.
Yeah.
He put the universe in park and put the emergency brake on, I guess. I don't know. And it all stopped, and the sun delayed going down for a whole day. That's what it says. And it says, never before did God ever answer a man's prayer like he did on that day.
Wow.
Never. It's like, where did he even get the idea?
Yeah.
He must have really good quiet time that day. That's what I'm guessing. I mean, oh my gosh. But anyway, ordinary guy asking big things of his big God. You know, there's people like Daniel. Who prayed, and his prayer in Daniel chapter 9 is what really initiated the second Exodus and the people returning back to rebuild Jerusalem. I really believe that. You got guys like Nehemiah, you know, who prayed so powerfully and built in 52 days what the people of God didn't build in 90 years. And you might have to do a little study on that, thinking about that, but it's amazing. You got people like Hannah, we studied out yesterday. You got people like Amos, this fire-breathing, powerful prophet. And I chose those people in particular. Daniel, Nehemiah, Hannah, and Amos. And we're going to look at King Hezekiah in a minute here, because all those people were not full-time ministry people. They were all secular. They had secular jobs. Because sometimes we think, oh, yeah, he's got a powerful prayer life because he's, you know, he's an evangelist or something, you know. He's a full-time minister. These people, Daniel was an administrator. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. Hannah was a peasant woman. Amos was a fig tree person guy. He grew figs. That's real impressive. King Hezekiah was a king. All these people are super busy people. Secular people. You can be a dreamer. You can have great. You can have a powerful prayer life. You don't have to be an evangelist. In fact, I love it, man. We got some people in our church now that are like, they're coming up with all these dreams and visions. I want to do this. And I go, go for it. Amen, man. King Hezekiah. Isaiah 38. Look at this dude. Verse 1, it says, in those days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, now, Hezekiah was used to everything that Isaiah said coming true. Okay? He was a prophet. This is what the Lord said. He told me himself, put your house in order because you're going to die. You will not recover. Don't you hate that when someone says something twice? He goes, you know, he's already sick. He's sick. He's already down. And Isaiah goes, and let me tell you something God told me last night. You're going to die. You're not going to recover. Wow. All you had to do is say it once. Anyway, Hezekiah didn't accept that. Thank you. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and wholehearted devotion and done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, I think before he even got out of the palace. Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord God, the Father of David, says. I've changed my mind. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life. Wow. Because this guy prayed, he added 15 years to his life. Oh, bummer when that 15 years was up, you know. He kind of knew when he was going to die. But anyway, I wonder if we prayed like this, if we'd have 15 more baptisms. Or be 15 times happier. I don't know. I know some awesome things would happen. Wow. Now, anyway, there's so many points in this passage. I got to keep going. Okay, so your prayers are powerful. Please believe it. Amen. I mean, the Bible is basically begging you to believe it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if that's true, then why don't I feel so confident? Everybody in here wants to believe that. I did for years because I knew I should. I saw these passages. So point number two is the source of your confidence. Let's talk about that. I'm sorry these points don't rhyme or something or spell something, but anyway, just not that creative. But anyway, your prayers are powerful. Point number two, well, how do you know that? The source of your confidence. You know, when my confidence is in a wrong place, I'm just not that confident. And it happens to me a lot. Yeah, let's go to, first thing I want to talk about is found in Psalm 20. Let's go there. Because if your confidence is in the right place, you're going to be confident and you're going to start believing your prayers like Elijah did and Joshua did and all these other people we talked about. And when you believe your prayers, you're going to be praying a lot because, you know, you believe them. I think that's the biggest issue a lot of times, why we're prayerless. It's not even so much a discipline issue. It's just we just don't believe. I mean, if you believed every time you asked God for a dollar and you believed that was really going to happen, how often would you ask God for a dollar? Give me a dollar. Give me a dollar. Give me a dollar. Give me a dollar. Give me. I mean, you'd be asking. You'd just never stop praying for a dollar because it whoop, whoop, whoop. You know, I would. I don't know. Maybe you wouldn't, but I would. I'm upside down in my house. I need lots of dollars right now, actually. Anyway, Psalm 20. We're just really being open here. Psalm 20. Verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we pray, when we call. Psalm 33. Verse 16, no king is saved by the size of his army. I used to think, man, I had a big staff. I had a big staff, then I could see my church really grow and flourish. And then God took my staff away. Anyway, just because I needed to believe in him and him alone. No warrior is escaped by his great strength. Okay, I used to think I was a tough guy. I'm not. I'm a sissy. And that's why I pray a lot. Verse 16 is an incredible passage. Psalm 44, same thing. Look how often he says it. Why? Because we're thick-headed about this. I am anyway. Maybe you're not. Psalm 44, verse 3. It was not by the sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, the light of your face, because you love them. You are my king and my God who decrees victories for Jacob. When God decides there's going to be victory, nothing's going to stop him. Through you we push back our enemies. Through your name we trample our foes. I put absolutely no trust. I put zero trust in my bow. What do you trust in? If you trust in something else besides God, you're gonna not have great confidence. It's not going to happen. And you've got, and this is not easy. Because this whole world has all kinds of stuff that says trust in this and, you know, you'll be whatever. Money, talents, experience, ministry skills. These are things I struggle with. Not so much money, but ministry skills. The size of my staff. The church. My plans. Sometimes, oh God, I got the right plan finally. All right, we're going to crank. Human wisdom. Macho, youthful strength. Well, I'm 54 next week. I'm not so youthful anymore. I'm running out of strength. And we put our trust in the wrong place. You know, the cool and encouraging thing is God works through weaklings.
Amen.
2 Corinthians, the whole book's about it. So if you're a weakling, you're a prime target for the power of God.
Yeah.
Isn't that encouraging? You know, I thought I had to get strong first. No. God works through weaklings. Devoted ones.
Amen.
Humble ones. But people full of weaknesses. We got to have the right foundation for our trust and our confidence. Otherwise, you won't have much. Let me talk about another thing. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. I hope I'm doing okay on time here. I forgot to look at the clock when I started.
All good.
Well, yeah, but I know what's going to happen in a few minutes here. That brisket's out. You smell that brisket, man. People start leaving if I don't get done in time. I'll look up and you'll all be gone. And there'll be no lunch left for me. So, anyway, what did I say? Philippians. Where's the book of Philippians at? Thank you. Thank you. Page 1278 in my Bible. Philippians chapter 3. Paul used to be, he used to be totally confident in himself. He thought he was hot stuff. He thought he was God's gift to everybody. Chapter 3, verse 1. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard to you. Watch out for the dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus. Best translation. Who boast in Christ Jesus. And who put no confidence, zero confidence in the flesh. Not even a little bit. Not even a microscopic speck. And see, that happened to me a few weeks ago. I noticed, man, God, we're kind of getting used to answered prayers around there in Minneapolis. I mean, God's just doing stuff. But the last few weeks, it's just, where are they, man? What's happening? What's going on? I'm getting a little discouraged here. I'm praying. I was still praying a lot. But then I started to realize I was putting my confidence a little too much in my righteousness. And so I was losing confidence. Because I was getting a little frustrated. I said, man, Lord, I don't have it together. I'm never going to get it together. Not totally. And it was wearing on my confidence. And then I just repented. I said, God, I'm sorry. I know I've got this to work on. And I know I you know, I'm still not as disciplined in my finances as I should be. What an idiot. How can a 54-year-old guy still make mistakes in his checkbook? I don't know. I'm an idiot. I'm not doing it on purpose. But so I get down on myself, and then I repented. I said, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry for those sins and those mistakes and that lack of discipline. But you know what? That's not going to stop you from doing great things. Or you would never do great things for anybody. And so I put my confidence in you again. I don't deserve anything anyway. So I got some big things to ask you. I start asking, God, I want you to do some stuff today. That day, this was last week. That day, this guy calls me that I had studied with, me and this other brother, months ago. And he went, we came all the way to the point of baptism. He said, I don't want it. I can't do it too much. Uh-uh. And he disappeared. He was gone for months. He called me that day and said, Steve, I want to make Jesus Lord.
Wow.
And we studied a couple days later. I'm sure he was at church today. I'm sure he's going to become a Christian really soon. Right after that, I was running errands. I wasn't even out evangelizing. But God was evangelizing anyway, even though I wasn't out evangelizing. And so I go to a Walgreens and over there, and I meet this lady, Barb Pilot, who 6 years ago, right after we moved there, her I don't know if you guys remember this, but her daughter's in my youngest daughter's class, and her husband committed suicide. And so Kelly, my wife, knew her a little bit, so we went over there, we ministered to her and reached out to her, and she cried on my shoulder. We talked a lot, and you know, we, of course, we sensitively asked her to church a few times, but she just never came. And then we kind of lost track after a while and saw her every once in a while. But anyway, I saw her at Walgreens, and then we just started talking, and we talked for like an hour. She's crying, and the church I go to is just not loving. They're not friends. They're not. And I go, I'm going to ask you again, come to our church. We have such good friends at our church. We're just all buddies, man. I really want to share it with you. I think it's what you're looking for. She gives me this big hug. We're crying. It's like, thanks, Lord. God moving, because I'm just going to stop being confident in me. It's not about me. I'm a mess up, and God's going to work. God works through mess ups, you know? And he put me in the right place. God was moving, and God can do that through anybody. There's nothing special about me. I guarantee you, I live with me. I know there's nothing special about me. I guarantee you that. Okay. Another thing. We got to have our confidence in the right place. Otherwise, we won't be confident in our prayer lives. We won't believe our prayers are powerful and effective. Don't have confidence in your past or present victories. You know, Abraham and Sarah, he's the father of our faith for a reason. God, first of all, let's say they got married at 25. I'm just guessing. That's a good guess. Let's say Abraham and Sarah got married at 25. All right. So they get married at 25. They're barren. She never became pregnant, ever. She never even had a miscarriage.
Wow.
She was barren. So at 65, 40 years later, again, let's say they got married at 25. 40 years later, God says, you're going to have a kid. Well, Abraham believed it. Okay? But then God, what does God do then? Give him a kid the next year? No, he waits another 24 years.
Wow.
Let's see how much faith this dude really has.
Wow.
And she never even got pregnant once in that time and had a miscarriage or something else. You know why Abraham's faith is so great? Not because it's perfect, but because he kept going back and going, he just trusted the word of God, the bare promise of God. He didn't have any evidence. He didn't have a sign. He didn't have any past victories at all. None. Zero.
Wow.
And sometimes he struggled a little bit. You know, the whole Hagar thing. That was a bit of a bump in the road, you might say. But it was brief. And he just goes, God can't break his word. So the same is true about James chapter 5, my friends. Your prayers are powerful and effective. It's a promise from God that He won't break. Trust in it. And He may make you wait. Remember, yesterday we talked about the four answers to prayer? Yes, that's the one we like the best, right? No, that's the one we like the least. Wait. And then there's the adjusted answer. Oh, I answer it, but you know, you're asking for that mountain to be moved, but I'm going to move that one instead.
Right.
And but believe and trust the Word of God. So don't look. Maybe your family group hasn't had anything happen for a long time. So what? What would be more glorious? We had a family group. I don't know, in the 6 or 7 years I was there, I don't even know if they ever had a study, let alone someone come around. And last year they baptized 4 people. Kids, family, kids, all that, busy people. That's pretty glorious, I think.
Yeah.
And guess who gets the glory? So believe. Doesn't matter about how defeated you've been in whatever area of your life. It only brings more, even if it's been, how long was that? 40 plus 24 is 64 years. Let's say you've been a Christian for 64 years, not seen one victory in your life. Oh boy, I don't even like sitting on the same side of the room as that dude. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what would be more glorious than that dude seeing some prayers answered? Believe, my friends, in the greatness of God. We get to have fun and be convicted at the same time. Isn't that cool? There's nothing like Christianity or the Bible. It's amazing. All right, I got to finish up. It's brisket time. Or baptism time, then brisket. Okay. All right, amen. Let me just give you a few practicals. And I'll run through these pretty quick, and then we'll take communion together. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. There's many verses in the Bible that talk about pray for each other. I call my people to pray for everybody in their family group. And if that's overwhelming, then pray for half of them one day and half of them the next day. I pray for all my family groups almost every day. Family group leaders. I can't pray for everybody. But then if they're praying for their people and I'm praying for them, then everybody's getting prayed for.
Amen.
Maybe that sounds a little too engineer-like, but the Bible begs us to pray for each other. It's not a waste of time. Your prayers are powerful.
Amen.
Pray specifically and audaciously and boldly. Pray for everything.
Amen.
There's a verse that says that. One time, I prayed for some money. I don't usually pray for money. One time, I prayed for money because I made a mistake in my checkbook. Anyway, you guys are thinking, what a doofus. The next day, and I told nobody. I told nobody. Someone came up to me and gave me a $500 check as a gift. I went, whoa, dude. I mean, God. Wow. That was awesome. Give me more money. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Pray together. Remember, I said that yesterday in the book of Acts, 28 chapters, 31 times prayer is mentioned. Only a few times it's prayer alone. Almost always praying together. Get together with your brother. Sometimes I don't know what to do in a D time. I've been an evangelist forever. And I don't even know what to do with Tim Rawls. I don't know what he needs discipling on. Who am I? We just pray together. And something happens. Pray together a lot. There's a lot of stuff here, but... And just lastly, let me just make sure your confidence is in the right place. And that's going to segue into communion here. You know, our confidence has to be in Jesus, in the blood, not in anything else. That's what it means to be saved by grace. You know, when you ask this question about confidence, it just doesn't mean confidence in prayer, but how confident are you that you're saved? I remember one time an evangelist asked a crowd. It was a big crowd. It was probably 2,000 people there. He said, how many of you in here are really confident you're saved? It was shocking how few hands went up. It was scary. And it really showed that we as a leadership group in that church weren't doing a very good job teaching about the blood of Christ. But if you're not confident in your salvation, how could you be confident in sharing your salvation? How could it be the gospel of peace? How could you be at peace? How could you have this great joy, this abundant life? And see, I know when I think about that, I do the same thing. I'm not righteous enough. But isn't that the point of grace?
Yeah, right.
Isn't that why we need grace and the cross and Jesus and the blood and forgiveness every day? And that's what the cross is all about. So the ultimate confidence, not only in your salvation, but in your prayer life too, is you go back to the cross and go, that's why I'm saved.
Yeah.
And if you're genuine and sincere, but you stumble a lot, which I do, but I think I'm genuine, then you can have ultra confidence, not only in your prayer life, but in your salvation because of the blood of Jesus. I don't know about you. That's good news. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the Wichita Church of Christ. It's been so great to be here. Thank you for these brothers and sisters. I can't wait to be with them in heaven and sing together, just like we sang together a few times. And I mean, the singing is awesome in this church, but he's even going to be more awesome in heaven. But thank you. Thank you for these good people. I pray they understand. I pray we all understand what our confidence is really supposed to be based in, that we put no confidence in the flesh. We put no confidence in our ability to follow you perfectly, that we always will fall short, no matter how hard we try. And so, Father, I pray we focus on Jesus. And because of him, not only are we very confident in our prayers, but we're very confident in our salvation. And as we go out there and share our faith, you will work through us. We will be that light. But right now, help us to be thankful for Jesus. And I pray that we break out into a great celebration in our hearts because of the confidence we can have because of him, because of the cross. Thank you so much for Jesus and your work through him. It's through his name that we pray. Amen.
Morning, church.
Morning.
I had to quit watching that. Come up here, start crying, so I had to look down a little bit. We're going to take up contribution. I wanted to share a scripture. In James chapter 1, in verse 15, it says, "Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." And real briefly, I wanted to share about this that, you know, it says that everything good, you know, our jobs, whether we believe it or not, are good. Our children are blessings, the clothes on our backs, you know, watching the pictures from India is kind of convicting, you know, complain at times of things here and there, but to see what they go through. You know, we need to be thankful and grateful for everything that we've been given, especially our jobs, to be able to give back to God. You know, I even think about Randy and I a couple weeks ago. We were taking a look at our shoes, and I was like, man, bro, I've got holes on both sides of both of them. And my wife's getting on me about getting a new pair of shoes, and it's great that I was able to get a new pair of shoes. And Randy's like, yeah, look at mine. I've got holes on both sides, too. And my wife went and got me a new pair of shoes, but I still got the ones with holes on this morning. Kind of hard to get away from that, but you know, it's a blessing, and it is from God who gives to us, and he gives us the money that we have. And so now's an opportunity for us to give back and to support this great building, keep the lights on. You know, we could still do it without the lights. We'd meet somewhere else, but it's kind of nice to meet in a building. So we're going to go ahead and pray for that real quick, and then we'll go over some announcements. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that we're able to learn about prayer. Father, that is one of the best things that you've given us, opportunity to actually be worthy to speak to you. Father, we're not worthy to even look at your word, Father, but you bless us with that. And God, you even call us to speak back to you. Father, thank you for the lesson that we received this morning, that we're to do that with confidence. Father, thank you so much that you actually hear our prayers and that they're powerful and righteous. Father, thank you for the money that you've given us, Father, through our jobs. God, pray that you will multiply that. Father, thank you for your kingdom and all the ways that you bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple announcements real quick, and then we'll move on with the baptism. Real important thing, the midweek schedule. Please pay attention to this one, or you're going to be kind of worshiping alone. You can do that, but hey, we'd love to have you. The men, we really want to make sure that we lead out. So October 5th for this month, the men are going to be first. So first midweek are men. Second one is family group. We're going to meet twice a month as a family group. So if you come here by yourself, you'll probably be here with maybe a couple other people. So we're not going to meet as a congregation for midweek this month. So second midweek will be family, third the women, and then we'll end out with family group. So this coming midweek, it's going to be men. Okay? And a couple prayer requests. Please be praying for Andrew Tovar. His grandmother passed away this morning, and so please be praying for him. He was very close to her. Let's be praying for his family. And then also for Eddie Burris's dad. He has been moved into hospice in his fight against cancer, so if we could please be praying for them. A lot of other prayer requests, guys, but we'll go ahead and say a quick prayer.
I'm gonna jump in here on the prayer while we're getting situated. Eddie Burris, Richard Snyder's his dad, and Eddie has faithfully done sound with the sound crew for a very long time. And Eddie just got a 911 call about his father, and it doesn't sound like it's going so well. His father may only have a couple of days to live. And so Eddie's went to be with his mother and father. And so we're going to go ahead and pray for these guys. I'm sorry, I just want to jump in and be able to say that, but let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for how fitting to remind us of how powerful our prayers are. God, we know that you possess all power. And Father, we know that your will is being done. And as it is, Father, we pray, God, for you to strengthen Eddie, for you to strengthen Andrew, as just in a day, Andrew's grandmother is gone, and it looks like Eddie's father is on his way out, and it's just difficult. Father, we pray so much for your power, for your will, for your glory to be shown, Father. We pray as a family that the brothers, they feel us praying for them. Father, we also want to pray for Gertrude Pendarvis as she's having irregular heartbeats. Father, we know that you know what's going on, and we know that you are the great physician. Father, we lift up Michelle Harrison. Father, we lift up Fran to you. And God, we lift up everybody on this list, God. We pray in your spirit. Father, please bring comfort, bring peace, bring strength. Father, we pray that you would administer what needs to be administered in each of these situations, God. We're so grateful for this time to really start to focus on prayer, God, and to watch you work. Father, we humbly come before you and bow down. In your glory, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That'll make the spirit jump in you here. Well, we are so encouraged today. My name is Rich Duranum, beautiful wife Delana, Shyla, Alora, and then of course our daughter Alexa here. And so we are so encouraged that she is going to make Jesus Lord this morning. And we are so proud that we get to share that with you guys before God. And I was going to pass this over to my wife and have her share.
I just want to share, Alexa, that I'm just so proud of you. A year ago, you were walking around with your hair and your face and kind of hiding, like someone said, Violet from The Incredibles, I think is what, you know, and you wore your skin, your jacket as your protection and your hat, and, you know, you were very protected. And you've been studying the Bible, and your heart has been transformed, but it's been obvious on the outside as well. You shed your skin. You cut your hair so people could see your beautiful face. You've become so warm and friendly, and just an incredibly different person. Not that the person you were before, I love you, but it wasn't really who you were. You were very protective, and you've really allowed God to change your heart in an extraordinary way. And as your mom, this is what you pray for your kids every day. And so this is definitely an answered prayer, and I'm very proud of you. I love you so much.
Amen. You know, it was so, it's kind of like a full circle seeing the Drakes, you know, with their children out here and them dedicating them to God. And you know, when Alexa was born 15 plus years ago, you know, you hold them in your hand and you just are like, gosh, I hope someday, you know, prayerfully, they will become a disciple and follow God for the rest of their life. And so that's what I'm so encouraged about, Alexa, is that now God has brought you to this point. And there have been challenges along the way that we faced as a family, we faced together, you faced alone, but God has always been there with you.
Yeah.
And what's so encouraging is to see that over the course, especially of this last year, how much you have turned it over to Him. You've given your heart, you've surrendered. And this is the ultimate act now of surrendering to God, you know, your sin, your life to Him. And so I just wanted to read a quick scripture here in Colossians 2, Alex. It says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I know we talked about that last night. You know, the key to being a disciple your entire life is just always a heart of gratitude for what God has done for you. And I'm just so proud of you at this point that you love God, first of all, with all your heart, and now you're going to live your life for Him. So I love you, and let's do this then.
I just want to share how much I'm just amazed at how much God has changed me over the past year. You know, where I could not be here without Him. Just His unconditional love and power has just brought me so far, and I'm so ready just to turn everything to Him.
Amen.
And, you know, to make it all up for Him and His absolute love. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Okay, very good. All right, here we go. We've been waiting for this all day.
Wait.
Okay. All right, well, Alexa, we have a couple questions for you here. Do you believe that Jesus was God's Son? He came to earth as a man, lived amongst us, taught us, ultimately was killed on the cross, but was raised again on the third day by God's power.
I do.
And what is your great confession?
Jesus is Lord.
Come on.
Amen. And Alexa, because of your great confession before God and before the church, your mom and I are now able to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When you come out of the water, your sins will be forgiven, you'll be raised to a new life, and you will be a disciple of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I bought the blood of the Lamb.
But go ahead and have a seat real quick. Like that, huh? If you're visiting, please come back and worship with us again. Amen. I'm going to pray for the food. And even before I do that, let me just say thank you, Steve Sabin. Yeah. Quick. He's gonna pull that out, you know. Yeah, you know. I'm in.
Extra large, I lost some weight though.
Amen. Well, hey, wear a sweatshirt under it or something. Let's pray for the food. God, thank you so much for this time to be together. Father, there's beginnings, there's middles, and there's endings in life spiritually and just in general. And Father, we're so grateful that you're with us all the way. Father, we pray that you'd bless this food at this time. Bless our fellowship, God. Please help us to enjoy and be thankful for the opportunity to spend time together. We love you, we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We're going to line up for the food. You're going to be dismissed. Let's get our kids. As much as we can, we like to let the ladies go first. I know you're with your families and these different types of things, but let's be gentlemen, amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's have a great fellowship.